started with Jesus, I'm going through because I'm not stopping. Praise God. We're glad that God has watched over us, blessed us, and given us the presence of mind to come together again, that we might worship Him in spirit and in truth and fellowship one with another. Call your attention to the book of Ephesians. That's in the New Testament. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Listen carefully, we'll listen quickly, and that will be wonderful. Peace, all is well. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians was written by a chosen apostle, a hard worker in the kingdom of God. He became a tremendous asset to heaven. He was a tremendous person who had no time, no good thoughts regarding those who were followers of Jesus Christ. But the Lord intervened in his life, blessed him to learn the truth and have the right frame of mind when the truth was being told to him. God had intervened and helped him to have the right mind to listen to his servant and converted him to Christianity. It is he that wrote this letter to the congregation at Ephesus. Just a few verses and a few words, and I'll be through. Starting with chapter 1 and verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. Did you know that we are saints? We're Christians, we're saints. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath done what? Blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings. What, from where? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. According as he hath chosen us. Doesn't that make you feel important? Yes, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. It was not an afterthought for God to love us. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's guaranteed to be in heaven. Mm-hmm. Having predetermined or predestinated us unto the adoption. No one had to influence him, push him. Having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have what? Redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded. Praise God. He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Amen. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the time appointed, or in the time of dispensation of the fullness of time, when the time that he was ready to make his move, he might gather together in one, not in many, but in one. God never ordained a church here and a church just there. this kind of church, that kind of church. No. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in his Son Jesus Christ, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Isn't that good news? We have obtained an inheritance, being predetermined or predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of himself or his own will. Don't have anybody dictating to him. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Isn't that good news? Good news from heaven. Good news from our Lord and Savior. Good news from God. Glorious, glorious good news. Paul, this epistle, he writes exciting news to those who love God. And he was writing to some people who had heard the gospel, believed the gospel, and obeyed the gospel. And he's writing to them as an encourager, anxious to be with them. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 4. According as he hath chosen us. It was God's idea to choose us. No one persuaded God. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Those are going to be my people. They are going to be my people. God knows us. We can't see God, but we can see results of being of God. We can recognize his actions in our lives. And based upon what we read in the Bible, we read that we have a relationship of adoption, that God adopts us as his dear children. Calling verse 4 again. According to that, he has chosen us in him. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, to be with hope, to be holy. We can be faithful servants, faithful children to our Heavenly Father. We don't have to sin. We sin. No. People sin. Come back words. People sin because they want to sin. Having predetermined, verse 5, having predetermined, decided beforehand, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, by what Christ did. Once we obey the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and we're buried in the water baptism, God adopts us as his children. Doesn't that make you feel like I'm somebody? You may have been a nobody before. But you're a child of God. So stand tall, walk tall, act like you're a child of God. Look like you're a child of God. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Adoption of children. We have a rich father. Through Christ Jesus, according to the good pleasure of his will. Do you understand that last part? It gave him pleasure to adopt us as his children through his Son Jesus Christ. But that shouldn't be surprising, because he loves his Son. And we came through his Son because of what his Son did, and we became his adopted children. So God is pleased, and we ought to be jumping up and down. Amen. To the praise of the glory of his grace. He did it because he wanted to. Nobody forced God to do what he did, to adopt us. And when he had only two, Adam and Eve, they sinned against him. And you know what? He didn't do what we often think. Why didn't he just wipe those two out? I mean, you only had two. Just wipe those two out and get you another two. His love wouldn't let him do it. He loves us. Let us learn to love the Lord. to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus Christ, what he went through, made us accepted by God, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Why does God allow us, once we sin, not to just wipe us out, but ask for forgiveness? One word. Love. He loves us. God loves us. We know that, even if we didn't know this text. We know that just the fact that we can become Christians. He sent his only begotten Son down to earth for 33 years, knowing it didn't come as a surprise as what his son would go through, nor did it come as a surprise to his son. But he sent him anyway. Well, I tell you, I was having these problems, so I just didn't come. Won't work with God. I've given you an example. Didn't work with me, won't work with you. Verse 8, wherein he hath abounded towards us. Our human language would say God went overboard. He has abounded towards us in all wisdom and all prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. Why did God do this? Why did he send his only begotten Son? He tells us, because of his love for us. It pleased him to help us. It pleased God to bless us. It ought to please us to please God, because it cost us nothing. But it cost him his only begotten Son. 33 years on planet Earth and dying a horrible death. Verse 9 again. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, wherein he hath purchased in himself. Nobody suggested it to him. That in the dispensation of the fullness time, at the time that I desire, he might gather together all of his children. He doesn't want a church over here, a different kind of church over there, and a different kind of church over here, and all of us claiming to be his children. God says, I don't want that. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things through his Son, both on earth and in glory. Verse 11, in whom, his Son, in whom we have what? Obtained an inheritance. Obtained an inheritance. Glory land is waiting for us. Heaven is waiting for us. And when we read the book of Revelation, it's so wonderful. It is so wonderful, beyond human acceptation. What? All of that? That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in his Son, Jesus Christ, both in heaven and in earth, in whom we have what? Obtained an inheritance. We have obtained an inheritance. So no matter what you have here, as you walk with the Lord, you have an inheritance waiting for you in glory land. Shouting time, church. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, or predetermined, or decided ahead of time, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. In other words, no one has to make any suggestions to God. It was his idea. Not to wipe us out. Adam and Eve, that's all you got. Wipe them out and start all over again. No. I'm going to give them a way back home. Loving God, that we should be, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ Jesus. Where does our blessing start? When we trust in Christ Jesus. Hold, we sing the song. Hold, what's the rest of it? Hold to God's unchanging hand. Know who you are. Know whose you are. And know what you have. What you have. We have a home right now in glory. Those of us who are in the body of Christ, walking with the Lord, walking right with God, we have an inheritance right now in glory land, waiting for us. That ought to be encouraging to all of us to go through whatever it need, whatever we need to go through. Endure whatever we need to endure. What I have waiting for me overrides whatever I have to go through and to deal with on planet Earth. My Father's blessing me, and He's going to continue to bless me, and I'm never broke. Never broke. I have a home waiting for me in glory land. Think good thoughts. Think glorious thoughts. Think happy thoughts because of what you already have. I don't read a place, now you could correct me if I'm wrong, where Jesus ever shed a tear because of the punishment that was heaped upon him. He was doing his Father's will. This is my Father's will. He knew, it's no surprise to my Father, what I would endure, what would be happening to me with those unrighteous. Yes, his Son prayed for that this thing might pass over for him, but I don't believe God shed a tear. Let us know who we are. Let us really understand whose we are. Live like it, look like it, and act like it. In all of our dealings, wherever we might work, wherever we might go to school, remember, always remember, you represent your Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, our Savior, at all times. That we should be the praise of His glory. Did you hear that? Just ratifying what I have already just said. Who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard, That you heard the word of truth, that you heard the gospel of our salvation, in whom also after that you believe. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise because you obeyed the gospel of Jesus. Paul sent this letter specifically to the church at Ephesus. But this letter is also applicable to the church in Richmond, Virginia. We are the sons and daughters of God. The adopted children of God, living for the Lord, doing to the best of our knowledge and the best of our ability to serve Him openly, without hesitation, without preservation, doing His will first and foremost in our lives. Where are you tonight? Is He first in your life? Your Savior, your Lord and Savior? Are we following the path? Are you following the path that glorifies your Heavenly Father? If not, renew your covenant. Rededicate your life to the loving Father that we have, who is ready to forgive all of His children, any of His children who are willing to seek His forgiveness. If you're not a child of God, a member of the Church of Christ, make your calling and election sure. Hell is too hot and eternity is too long to go into judgment displeasing to God. You've heard the word. Believe it with all of your heart. Be godly sorrowful for the things that you've done contrary to His will. Be willing tonight. Be willing tonight to acknowledge Jesus as Lord in Christ and openly confess your faith in Him. And be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you've ever committed. Do that. God will immediately add you to His family. He will adopt you as His son or daughter. Bless you. If that's your will, bless you to live a life that's honorable to Him. And when He calls you off this planet called Earth into eternity, there will be a judgment day according to Revelation chapter 20. God has a record of all of us, of every human being that has ever lived. Your book will be open just like the rest of us, and God will judge us that day. If we walk with the Lord, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up. I'm going to make you ruler over many. Live never to die again. In eternity with God the Father and our older brother, Jesus Christ. That sound interesting? You don't want to go to that other place. But you, no one can make this decision for you but you, to give your life. You've heard the gospel. Believe it. Repent of your sins. That means you're godly sorrowful for the things you've done contrary to the will of God. And be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you have ever committed. God, you come up out of that water. You went down a sinner. You come up out of the water an adopted child of God. Praise His glory. Hallelujah. It's shouting time. Walk, walk, walk with the Lord. And at the final roundup of human affairs, you will hear Him say, well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up. I'm going to make you ruler over many. Beautiful, beautiful words. Come now, as we together stand and sing the song that has been suggested.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you, yes, and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to the brink.
Oh, yes.
'Tis a fountain of love from the source above, and He bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty souls. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis
for you and for me.
'Tis for you and me, thirsty souls. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
Let me ask you a question. Don't answer, just think. God forbid. But it had happened. If God called you tonight off the scene of time into eternity, will it be for you like we're singing? Well with your soul? Is all well with your soul, with the Lord? If not, why not? God has extended our lives, yours and mine. God never does anything without a purpose. He wants you to continue to be a great example. But he also uses time to give you an opportunity to make things right in his sight, to make things right with him, so that he can bring you into eternity and say, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful. You've been faithful. Come on up. I've got a job for you over many things. Ain't that good news? God is offering nothing but good news to those who want to do the right thing. He also infers and informs the other kind of news to those who are disobedient. For God's sake, don't be disobedient. We're going to sing one more verse. If you need to come.